On Point with Craigs Investment Partners.
The information provided here is general in nature. It's not financial advice. It doesn't take into account your financial situation, objectives, goals, or risk tolerance. All investments are subject to risks and none are guaranteed. So before you make any investment decisions, we recommend you contact an investment advisor. For more information about our services in that regard, you can go to our website, which is craigsip.com. Welcome to On Point. I'm Mark Lister, Investment Director at Craigs Investment Partners, and I'll be talking about a range of topics, including economics, portfolio strategy, investor education, and anything else that's happening out there in financial markets. Morning, everybody. Hope you're all well. I wanted to talk today about the shifting sands of central bank outlooks because we are starting to see an increasing divergence in the outlook for growth, inflation, and therefore the likely next move from many of the world's central banks. You've got some that are on track to cut policy rates as expected, such as the European Central Bank, the ECB, and the Bank of England, the BOE. And then you've got others, like the Federal Reserve in the United States and our own Reserve Bank of New Zealand, the RBNZ, which are grappling with stubbornly high inflation that seems to have delayed any plans for policy easing. Across the Tasman, you've also got a situation where some economists are suggesting that you might need to see another interest rate hike before the year is out. So rather than it being a timing issue of when you'll see the next cut, or the first cut, I should say, it's a case of some people thinking they might not have done enough and they might need to move again. I personally don't think they will, but that is something that is out there as a viewpoint from some quarters. In the United States, the world's biggest economy, the world's biggest share market, the headline inflation rate hit 9.1% in June 2022 before it fell steadily over the following year. However, it's now got stuck in the low to mid threes, and that's where it's been for the past 10 months. So the Federal Reserve is really struggling to deal with that last mile of inflation pressures. They did a very good job getting it from north of 9, down through the 8s, the 7s, the 6s, the 5s, and the 4s, got it down to sort of 3-3.5%, but then it's been stuck in that range and they really want it to be closer to 2. So the easy gains are behind them and they're struggling with that last mile of inflation pressures. At the same time, and this is the other side of the coin, the American economy is still in good shape though. So a 3.5% inflation rate or thereabouts is a little undesirable. We'd rather it be 2 or maybe 2.5%, but it's not the end of the world, provided economic activity and the labour market are still holding up well, which they are in the United States. So they at least are winning on the one hand and losing on the other. It's a different story across the Atlantic, where inflation has been coming down quicker than expected after hitting double digits in both the UK and Europe during 2022. So while in the United States, just like New Zealand, just like Australia, inflation hasn't been coming down as quickly as expected, in the UK and in Europe, it's been quite different. Inflation has been actually falling more quickly than people thought it would. So while you've got some central banks that look firmly on hold for the time being, financial markets are picking that the ECB, the European Central Bank, will be one of the first major central banks to cut its policy rate at its June meeting. And that's in just 3 weeks' time, the 6th of June, I think, so not far away at all. The Bank of England won't be far behind. It's expected to follow through with its first rate cut in August, which is only a few months away. This has come at a cost, with economic activity across Europe and the UK having been decidedly more subdued than we've seen stateside in the US. So the US has seen a strong economy, a strong labour market. It's been much more resilient than expected. That's gone hand in hand with higher inflation. So one good thing offset by another not so good thing In the UK and Europe, it's been a little bit the opposite because they have had a better inflation path in the sense that inflation has come down more quickly and more sharply than expected, in contrast to the US, but those economies haven't been quite as strong. Which brings me to New Zealand, and we really do seem to have had the worst of both worlds in this regard, and I think that is something that is causing many of our businesses and households a lot of challenges and issues at the moment. Our economy has been in a mild recession. 4 out of the last 5 quarters we have seen contraction, and while those numbers have been relatively modest, they haven't been major contractions, or they're negative numbers, but they're not big negative numbers. But at the same time, record population growth has really flattered some of those figures, and what looks lackluster on the surface is actually quite weak when you dig underneath and you back out that record population growth that we've seen over the last year or two. And things really do seem to have gotten worse just lately. I think you can see that if you're a share investor in New Zealand, because you've seen a string of profit warnings from many of our listed companies. Air New Zealand, Fletcher Building, Tourism Holdings, The Warehouse, and even Spark, which operates in a more resilient segment than many of those others. All of those businesses have cut their earnings forecasts in recent weeks. And the main culprit there has been falling customer demand. People are under pressure, they don't have as much money to spend, and that has flowing through to demand for the goods and services of all of those businesses. Plus, you've had very high interest rates, and many of those businesses have debt as well, just like many of us do as households, and their interest bill is higher, so their costs are higher. And there's all sorts of other cost pressures too, whether it's wages, whether it's insurance, whether it's input costs, everything under the sun. So that has conspired to put pressure on corporate profits and earnings, some companies more than others, but certainly for those ones that I've mentioned. I'm hearing similar stories from smaller businesses that I talk to as well, and this is the case up and down the country. It's across a wide range of sectors, and it really does seem that these last couple of months in particular, things have got even more challenging. We've seen the housing market recovery stumble as well, with sales volumes down and prices falling again so far in 2024. Things did bottom out about May last year after a sharp fall over the preceding 18 months, and you saw the housing market stabilise, and then you actually saw a bit of an uptick late last year. I think that was around the time of the election, but that really has petered out, and the housing market is still looking decidedly mixed out there, and that has a big impact on confidence and activity too. And against that backdrop, we're still battling very persistent non-tradables inflation. And non-tradables means domestic inflation. So it's the inflation that is here in the New Zealand economy, not things that we get from overseas that are impacted by oil prices or currencies or that sort of thing. It's that domestic New Zealand inflation. That's not slowing nearly as much as people were hoping. However, one bright spot, and this is for the inflationary outlook, at least it's not a bright spot in many other ways, one bright spot for the inflationary outlook is that the labour market continues to weaken. In the March 2024 quarter, we saw the unemployment rate rise to 4.3%, and that was above expectations. People didn't expect it to rise quite as much as that. It's the highest in 3 years now. And at 4.3%, you're still quite a bit below the long-term average. The average unemployment rate over the past 25 years is 4.9%. So at 4.3, you're still quite a bit below that 25-year average. However, 4.3 is quite a bit higher than where we were at a couple of years ago. In early 2022, the unemployment rate was at 3.2%, and that was a multi-decade low, the lowest we'd seen since the 1980s. So that reflected a very tight economy where it was very hard for businesses to get staff. That was fueling very strong wage growth, and that strong wage growth was fueling inflation pressures elsewhere. That wasn't the only reason we saw high inflation, and we're still seeing it, but it was one important ingredient. And now that you've seen unemployment rise from 3.2 to 4.3, and it's expected to go higher, the Reserve Bank sees it going north of 5 over the next 12 months, that is taking some of the pressure off. At the same time as that labour force report, we also saw some positive signs on the wage front. And again, I mean positive from the perspective of inflation. Workers obviously have been enjoying some decent pay rises over the last couple of years, and that's a good thing with many industries having been underpaid for some time. But from an inflationary perspective, from the Reserve Bank's perspective, it was good to see average hourly earnings rise at an annual rate of 4.8%, because that is down sharply from 6.6% 3 months earlier. And it's below Reserve Bank projections for 5.9%. So 4.8, still strong, still inflationary in many ways, but coming down more quickly than expected. And 4.8 is quite a bit below what the Reserve Bank was predicting at 5.9. So rising unemployment, slowing wage growth, and falling job security are definitely taking their toll. And I think at least in part, this will be behind the recent drop-off in economic activity. When you start seeing unemployment rise, when you start hearing stories about layoffs and so forth, you don't feel quite as comfortable about your own situation. You think, oh, well, am I going to be one of these statistics over the next 6 months, 12 months, 3 years? And that causes people to just change their behavior ever so slightly. They just might rein things in. They might save a bit more, spend a bit less, be a little bit more frugal. And that is flowing through to that reduced customer demand that the likes of the warehouse or Air New Zealand or Tourism Holdings or whoever are feeling and seeing in their own businesses, and all the small businesses out there that we don't hear about because they're not listed companies, but they will be feeling it too in many parts of New Zealand. And if you're a small business owner listening to this, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I would hazard a guess that for many of you, you have seen a bit of a drop off in revenue in these last 2 or 3 months. And at the same time, your costs are still rising and are still quite troublesome. So you might be getting squeezed just a little bit because of what we're seeing in terms of the economic backdrop. So, a tight labour market and plentiful wage increases have contributed to the high inflation that we've seen in recent years. But with that dynamic changing, it could be a sign that inflation in the months ahead will slow down. And that will hopefully open the door to OCR cuts before the year is out. I think that'd be a good thing. That would take some of the pressure off households, it would boost confidence, and it would increase activity for businesses too. So thinking about the Reserve Bank, they are due to release a new set of forecasts next Wednesday. There's a monetary policy decision next Wednesday. They won't change the OCR, the official cash rate, but we will be very interested in the set of projections and forecasts that they release at the same time as part of their latest monetary policy statement. The last time they released one of those was back in February. That was, 3 months ago. It feels like things have changed quite a bit in those last 3 months. You have seen inflation come down more quickly than expected, but the domestic inflation has been stronger. I think you've seen the economy weaken more than people expected it to. You've seen wage growth come down more aggressively than people expected it to, and you've seen unemployment rise. So there's some good and some bad in there. I'll be very interested to see and hear what the Reserve Bank thinks about that, what they see in terms of their forecasts for the OCR for house prices. You know, have they pared them back a little bit for inflation, and what their latest thinking is in terms of what action they might take and when they might take it. So these are all very interesting pieces of the puzzle. I do hope that the Reserve Bank is focused on what's ahead of us rather than the backward-looking statistics that we see and hear and read about in the newspaper, which are all rear-view mirror sort of stuff. I very much hope they are focused on what is coming rather than what's behind us. And I also hope that they've been taking note of what all these businesses are saying, both big businesses that are listed on the stock exchange that are telling us about some of the challenges they're facing, and also what we're all hearing from small businesses. So that will be a very interesting meeting next week. We are in a slightly different position than many of these other central banks around the world. And I think we've got a situation where for the first time in a few years, you might start to see different economies, different share markets, different inflation and central bank outlooks moving in slightly different directions. So it's an interesting turning point that we are grappling with at the moment. All right, thanks for listening, team. We'll talk again soon.
For more insights, visit craigsip.com.